Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Mark chapter 3. We're still continuing on our grand topic of healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And in any discussion of healing, when you consider all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, we ought to think in terms of healing the whole person. Man was supposed to be a threefold being. That is, he was to have a body, a physical body, a soul that would be his breath life, or what makes the person a person, those things unique to that individual. It would also include their abilities to reason. It would include their emotional makeup and all of those things, and also spirit. Perhaps when we speak of healing, we're thinking in terms of bodily sickness or an ailment or disability. But really, we need to consider wholeness. I want to compare a few scriptures with you just so that we can get a grasp on this from a biblical perspective, and then we'll continue to talk about it a little bit here. But here in Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 8, it says, "And from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard what great things he did," speaking of Jesus, "came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude, lest they should throng him." So he was a little concerned. Pretty interesting. "For, reason being, he healed many." And you'll come into this type of situation too. It says he healed many, not all. That will happen. It happened with our Lord. It happened with his disciples. That does not mean that you have been a failure, or that there has been a failure in God. The only failure that we have is when we fail to believe and release the faith that we have. Then we may have some failures there, but don't allow that to discourage you, because it didn't discourage our Lord. There were many cases where he went in and he healed all. So I wanted to show that to you. It says he healed many. And the reason being is not all believed. They were coming from all these different areas because they had heard. And when they got there, you know, they hadn't changed their minds much or anything else. A lot of times people just want to go and see the show, so to speak, and really don't believe. They just want to see something. And that happens. But don't let that worry you. Don't let that cause you great concern. Because like I say, people can always learn to believe. Believing comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So that was the situation there. And it says he healed many, excuse me, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. So he did, I mean, obviously there was great success. Spirits came out of people. People were healed of their plagues and so forth. So, but not everyone will get healed. Sometimes, you know, something happens in a person's mind later on. They come back and they do get healed. it's up to the people and their believing. Then in Mark chapter 5, this is what I wanted to give a comparison on what I'm speaking about in terms of healing the whole person, or actually healing wholeness, if we want to put it in a much clearer way. In Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we'll look at this record, and it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Whole, not just healed, whole. I shall be made whole. It includes healing, but she was speaking about more than just healing. She sought to be made whole. Now, if a person is to be a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit, she wanted to be whole physically. She wanted to be whole mentally or soul-wise, and she also wanted to be whole spiritually. She was seeking more than that. Now, the new birth wasn't available at that point, but could she believe on Jesus and be saved? Sure, made whole. Absolutely. Could she receive spirit? Certainly. All through the Old Testament, people had spirit upon them. It was conditional, but they had it upon them. But she wanted to be made whole. She wanted to be healed of this physical situation. Obviously, there could have been, to me it's obvious, but, I don't want to assume anything, but it is a great possibility. She's been dealing with this 12 years. She's been to all of these physicians. She's spent everything that she had, and she's gotten worse. I think that could have an effect on a person's emotional makeup. I could perhaps see where bitterness might be there, even anger at God. I can see where she might be upset with situations in life, and maybe have there are just a lot of things that could happen in a person's life that do not help healing and do not provide health. There's a lot of emotions a person could go through, a lot of emotions that a person could hold on to that could cause bitterness, disappointment, discouragement. How about fear? How about anger? A lot of things could be, but she wanted to be clear of all of it. She wanted not only the physical healing to stop that flow of blood, but she said, if I do it, I'm going to be made whole. That means to me that she's also going to be made whole in her soul, that all of the anger, all of the disappointment, all of the frustration, all of the discouragement is going to go with it. And she's going to receive spirit. Beautiful. Now, back to verse 26, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. and I guess she sort of literally suffered from it. So these are a lot of considerations, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And I'm sure I would think that if I were in that type of situation and I had spent everything that I had and I didn't get any better, I've got no more money to pay a doctor, I'm wondering what is going to happen to my life, and then who's going to take care of me? How am I going to handle issues of life? So it doesn't say whether she was married, and I imagine if she was, having an issue of blood for 12 years could have a great effect on your marriage relationship and other things. But the point is, she wanted to be made whole. That's what she wanted. And she said within herself, if I can but touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. Whole, not just healed. Beautiful. Very, very wonderful. Let's go ahead and read this. Beginning of verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was what?
Healed
of the plague, yes. And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman fearing, meaning having respect, and trembling, she was in awe, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. So I assume that there's even some confession there. Possibly. But the case is in verse 34, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Well, she felt that she was healed of the plague, but now Jesus is confirming to her, what did she want to go there and have done? She wanted to be made whole. And he tells her, you've been made whole. Go in what?
Peace.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That indicates to me that that situation within her soul was rectified. And knowing that she believed on the Lord Jesus, that she also had spirit. So there's, you know, she's, in other words, she's whole. She's body, soul, and spirit. Just terrific how this all works. Go in peace, be made whole of thy plague. She received healing physically to her physical body. She received healing to her soul. Go in peace. Her emotions were taken care of. Her thinking, she had great peace in her heart and spirit, which is always perfect. Sickness and disease are, in essence, disharmony with the laws of nature and the power of God. And we need healing mentally, our soul, as well as physically in many cases. From a spiritual perspective, man is sick if he does not have spirit, because he's supposed to be body, soul, and spirit. From the beginning, you know, from the beginning, he was supposed to be body, soul, and spirit. So if you're missing one third, I would say that you are in the category of not being whole and that you need healing. So, well, look, if you bought a car, a six-cylinder car, and only four cylinders work, would you consider that it's repaired? No. You would think, my car's broke. You know, you want to take it back. My car's broke. It's only running. Could it run on four cylinders? Sure, but it'd be rough as crazy. And that's how people go through life. They have, you know, they're a six-cylinder person running on four. And it's a rough run through life. So many is body, soul, and spirit. Soul is what makes a person a person. It houses the will of a person. It reflects his personality, his reasoning processes, etc., all of which can get out of alignment or become sick, so to speak. Disharmony with the laws of nature and disharmony with the power of God. But all of it can be made whole. All three folds, body, soul, and spirit, are tied together in one unit, and they can have an effect on each other. For instance, an attack of sickness in one part can affect the other parts. And we need to be interested in healing the whole person. Physical sickness or a disability can affect one's mental being and perhaps impair their will for healing, or even to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man, or be strengthened by the spirit of God. See, one, it's a threefold being, and and an attack and sickness in one area can affect the other two. Now, the spirit is perfect. It doesn't affect it in that it makes it imperfect, but it makes it ineffective in that the person does not rely on it. The person does not utilize it. The person does not get the benefit of it. Similarly, they can be attacked mentally and emotionally that ultimately will affect their physical well-being. Their bodies will show the effect. I've shared with you about the article I read on this doctor who did a lot of work with acid reflux and ulcers and those kinds of things. And he says, and his main point was, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you that's causing these problems. A lot of our physical sickness is because we've been worn down mentally and emotionally, and therefore it affects our physical well-being, and the effects are shown in the physical. And then because of this drain mentally, this drain emotionally, the spirit, it goes dormant, so to speak, because you're not relying on it. You're not in a mental position. You've been moved out of the mental position of strength to utilize it. And both the physical side and the mental side, both can be affected by the Spirit of God that's within you with healing and deliverance. And that's what we look for. Healing of the whole person. Looking for wholeness. We're interested in wholeness. It is the heart of conviction in the body of the sick for healing of the whole person. It's their body and the mind, the heart, however you want to look at it. We look at it from the position of the soul. But when I say soul, I'm talking about the whole emotional and mental makeup of the individual. You might even use the term heart sick, which we often use. And there is a destruction. There is an attack upon the body, upon the soul of the person to get them to stop using the spirit, stop utilizing the spirit, or never receive the spirit. I did want to look at a couple of scriptures with you just to handle this from the effects that the mental state can have on the physical body. In both directions, whether it's in healing or whether it's in a physical attack because of a breakdown. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. I know that you don't need to be convinced about this, but it's always good to look at the scriptures so that we have these scriptures for when an attack comes, we know exactly what we want to fight that attack off. See, because fears, you can't wish fear away. You have to stand against it. And I don't mean like these shows, Fear Factor, where, you face your fear and apparently for you, fear is not a factor. That's not it. You're afraid of dogs, so you put yourself in a dog kennel or something. I don't know. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about taking the promises of God and defeating the fear because you are absolutely certain in the promises of God. For instance, if you are lonely, depressed, rejected, feel like you have no place, the scriptures and knowing and believing the love God has to us, that you fight, that's what I use to fight fear. I don't stand against fear of loneliness by saying, look at all the friends you have. Because what happens if I don't have friends? Then I'm convinced, well, yeah, I am pretty lonely. But if I look at the scriptures and I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord, that he will never leave me nor never, ever forsake me, that cancels out loneliness for me right there. That's how I fight those kinds of fears. But you can't just wish fear away. You can't, and you can't just leave it. You have to actively stand against it. And you have to have the right equipment to stand against it with. And God has blessed us and has given us all those things. Now we need to make the determination that we're going to utilize what God has given to us. We have access to him through the faith of Jesus Christ. We have access to his power. We have authority in this life. We have the right to utilize the name of Jesus Christ to defeat both physical sickness as well as our mental pressures. You know, in Isaiah chapter 53, if you'll slide back there with me, or actually we're going to move ahead. Leave a ribbon here in Proverbs. We're going to come back to it. I don't think I read the verse, but I'm thinking about this record in Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, because it talks about what Jesus Christ did for us. And sometime I'll lay this all out for you. I can sort of put it in a chart and you'll see the beauty of it, because Jesus Christ was every sacrifice that the Old Testament required for everything that we need, and he fulfilled all of those sacrifices for us. But looking at verse 4 of Isaiah 53, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word griefs in the Hebrew is really the word sicknesses. And the word sorrows is the word for diseases. So you can probably go online to like Bible Hub and put this verse in there and click on an interlinear where they give you several different definitions, and you'll see a lot of people utilize that, and you'll see different definitions that say that surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases for you, and that would be a good thing for you to do. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not only of the sickness and of the disease, but the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and we are healed. That takes care of the soul, the mental areas, the emotional problems. Jesus Christ took all of our emotional distresses upon himself. We have a right to claim. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have every right to claim that. I know that, and I read about Alzheimer's disease. I do not fear that at all, because God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have a promise that Alzheimer's is not for me. The devil can take it back and use it on himself, but it is not for me. So I claim God's promises in that category. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. A wound is an outward infliction, cut, you know, like a cut where you bleed and the blood comes out on the outside. That's all the external things. Not only was he wounded for our transgressions, every sin that we have done wrong outwardly. You know, like the scripture says, don't do this, and you go ahead and do it. That's outwardly. Mm-hmm. That blood flow outwardly is covered by Jesus Christ's blood. He covered all of that, the outward stuff. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities are the inward things, even if we don't carry them out. You know, it's devilish thoughts. I think of you and I curse you in my mind, you know, or something of that nature. A bruise is an inward affliction where the blood is internally. A bruise you get is from internal bleeding. You bang your arm or your leg against something and you get a large bruise on your leg. That's from internal bleeding. You broke some of the capillaries and things under the skin. It's an inside kind of thing. Well, Jesus Christ, not only did his blood cover all the outside things, it covered all the inside things. And therefore, the chastisement of our peace was upon him and we are healed. Everything that all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and everything that is mental, Jesus Christ took upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So I wanted to read that to you while I was thinking about it. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14. And here in verse 30, Proverbs 14. And here's why we need, men and women need healing of their soul, the inside, the mind, the heart, the emotions, as well as physical. It says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Well, you shouldn't be heart sick. You should have a sound heart. And believe also that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind is included in that, that we should have a sound heart. And it is life to the flesh. See how one can affect the other? If we change our thought patterns, if we start thinking very positively, it will have an effect on our flesh. And we are thinking of the whole person or wholeness. Healing wholeness. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. Well, the bones are in the physical part and what's manufactured in the bones. The blood and the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if I have envy and it's rottenness to the bones, here is something in my soul, my emotional makeup, that is having an effect on my physical body, and it will ultimately wind up destroying it. But I can change it because I can have a sound heart and give life to the flesh. Isn't that beautiful? Let's look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Here is another look at it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit, meaning this, it's more in the terms of the spirit of man. Let me set this for you. The spirit we get from God, like the spirit in the new birth, when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I think I kind of reversed that verse a little bit. That is the spirit of God. That cannot get sick. That's perfect. But I can get to the place where I'm not utilizing it, okay? Now, the soul is also referred to, and you'll see it more in the Old Testament, some of the places in the New, as the spirit of man. I think you might read that in Corinthians, that term, spirit of man, but it's more in the Old Testament. Because spirit is life. All spirit is life. Now, the spirit we get from God, that's eternal life. That's why it's perfect. That's why it can't get sick. But the spirit of man is his soul. So when it says, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones, it's talking about the spirit of man. It's not your eternal life, because the spirit of man can get corrupted. I can be very positive today and very cynical tomorrow. But if I allow that to happen, then it dries the bones, and eventually you'll see it manifested in my physical body. You get the point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but we're interested in wholeness. It's the heart of conviction in the body of the sick for healing of the whole person. Now, can a man be physically healed without being born again? Yes. Number one, in the Old Testament, they weren't born again. They had spirit upon them, and they could be healed. But I've heard a lot of records of people, like someone ministering to a group of Muslims, I guess. When I was growing up, I did a research thing on the Muslim religion, and then they called it Muslim religion. I'm sorry. It slipped back about 30 years. The man was teaching in the Middle East, and the people were very excited, and he did a healing service, and there were a lot of healings going on. And when he went out, there were a group of Muslims there that were excited about it, and they wanted to get healed, but they said, you know, we're Muslims, and yet God still healed them. That's how loving God is. But, you know, my position is the same as that minister's. He says, wouldn't you want to be Christians? If God is this good and so loving to heal you all in the name of Jesus Christ, and you are witnesses of the testimony of his power and his great love because he required nothing of you, why would you not want to be Christians? I believe that that's true. Our God is so loving. He is so kind. But I've also seen where Christians are healed, but they're not made whole because they are still soul sick, so to speak. They still retain anger against their brethren. They still are unforgiving about things that happened to them. They still hold these fears. They still hold these grudges. They still hold these animosities. They still maintain these anxieties. If God is that kind, why not give all that up? Why not live a good, strong Christian life? See, be made whole and keep your wholeness. Why not be loving back to God and the Lord Jesus Christ? And I want to give you 6 points before we close this out on things you can do to maintain your wholeness as well as your healing. But I'm more interested in wholeness. Not only that you should be physically healed, I certainly desire that for you, but I want to see wholeness where your soul is healed. And here are 6 points that I believe will help you. Be loving back to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Live a Christian life as a beloved one. Regardless of what happens, don't abandon Christian truth because of other people not living by it. You still live by it. You know, I think of some of the things that go on today. We look at, we may look at situations that go on, and we see how people steal. We see how people defraud one another and so forth. And, you know, we see things go to court, and even the court defrauds people of stuff and all of that, and say, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Don't do that. God healed you. God is so loving and so kind. He healed you. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Why not be loving back to him? Live the Christian life. Be a good, beloved one. Don't get callous to sin just because others sin. Or Congress decides to make it legal. Don't get caught up. Don't lose your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't compromise your love for him because of what other people are doing and what is allowed in our culture. That never sets the standard. It didn't set the standard before Christ came, and it doesn't set the standard today. You be a good, beloved one. Live like someone who is love, whom God loves. Know and believe the love God has to you, and live like a man or a woman whom God loves. Be loving back to him. He's the one that made you whole. I don't care whatever they figure out for health care or any of that other stuff, mental health care or any of these this, that, or the other. He will make you whole. I think about not being callous to sin. Be reasonable. Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. Do your reasonable service. He's been reasonable to you. He gave you the full measure of the faith. See. Which brings us to the second point. Exercise faith. You've got the full measure. You believe the same things that Jesus Christ believed. And he operated. Get involved in loving people to help them believe more. And you believe more. Act upon the scriptures. Minister the word more. Exercise your faith. Be loving back to God. Exercise your faith. The next one is associate and fellowship with those who believe in the reality of the power of God. I don't mean just talking about it. And we don't have to be critical or anything like that, but associate and fellowship with those who really believe in the reality of the power of God. If you want to maintain your wholeness, if you want to maintain your healing, associate and fellowship with those who believe in the reality of the power of God. If you ever need assistance, they can be there to help minister to you because they believe in the reality of the power of God. The next thing, number four, keep a positive, uplifting, Bible-based mindset. You know, the scriptures say a faithful ambassador is health. Stay positive. Look at all that God has done. He will never leave you nor forsake you. How can you allow the things of this world to get you down? It doesn't matter what the economic crisis condition or whatever is. You're not tied to that. You're tied to him who wishes above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers, who has given you the power to get wealth. See, stay positive and uplifted in a Bible-based or with a Bible-based mindset. Then, of course, if you're going to do that, number five is very clear. Read your Bible. Especially when you get down and discouraged, look at those promises of God. He has given thee the power to get wealth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. By his stripes ye were healed. We are healed. He has given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All of these great, wonderful things. Read your Bible, especially when you get down and discouraged. It especially when the world looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm not in the basket. I can help carry the basket, but we're not going to hell. We're going some other direction because I have the promises of God. Six, pray. Spend some time in prayer. Get away. Get yourself quiet. Pour your heart out before the Lord. And remember his gracious and wonderful promises. And then keep the focus off you and your abilities, because it's not your ability. You see, it says of God, he is our physician. I am the Lord, thy physician. Doesn't say you're the physician. We're gonna minister healing, but they're going to be healed by the power of God. If you had to figure it out, if you had to diagnose every situation, I would say you have a right to be discouraged. If you have to figure out the name of every evil spirit that's around, I would say you might have a problem and have reason to be discouraged. It doesn't say that. It just tells us to cast them out. I don't necessarily need to know their name. And if I do, God knows who they are. God, tell me. And same thing, I don't have to name every disease that's on a person. I don't have to figure all of that. They're going to be healed by the power of God. Father, I don't know what's wrong, but I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. I release my faith to you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, let the power of God do the job it needs to do and fix this body. See, keep the focus off yourself and your abilities. Keep your focus on him, looking unto Jesus, and away from all else, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He authored it. He finished it. He knows everything about it. And then live like one who knows and believes the love God has for you, and treat others the same way. I want to just go back with those. Number one, be loving back to God. Two, exercise faith. Three, associate and fellowship with those who believe in the reality of the power of God. Keep a positive and uplifted Bible-based mindset. Read your Bible. Six, pray. And then seven, keep the focus off yourself and your ability, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Then we will live like ones who know and believe the love God has for us. And we will then treat other people the way he treats us, with great love and great kindness. It's not too hard for God to heal us of our sicknesses and diseases, or to forgive us of our sins. Let's be reasonable. Let's be reasonable. Though they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. Father, we are so grateful for your love and your kindness to us and the power and authority. Let us bring your people not just to healing, but all the way to wholeness in every part, through the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.